Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Ninja versus Ninja podcast. It's a long title. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me, as always, is the lovely Lita Brilliman. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be back talking about American Ninja Warrior Ninja versus Ninja. It is a long title. I feel like we've been wandering through the desert, through all this Celebrity Big Brother, the Survivor premiere, Drag Race, all these things. And I just feel so happy to be back talking about Ninja Warrior.
Yes. It's gotten a makeover. The new title, it's no longer Team Ninja Warrior. It's American Ninja Warrior, Ninja versus Ninja.
The USA Network as opposed to the Esquire Network, which I learned doesn't exist anymore when I tried to record this.
Yes. And they're doing it at night. It looks fancier. It looks like regular Ninja Warrior, but just not.
It looks like a video game. Like when they start out and there's the smoke and the lights and then like their stats and they're like turning around on the platform. It looks like Choose Your Fighter.
You just came up with a great idea for a video game, I think.
Yeah, this would be a fun video game. I feel like it wouldn't be that hard. Like you just race through an obstacle course.
If anyone's ever played Trials, which is like the game where you're on a motorcycle and you're just going over obstacles and stuff, I feel like this could just be a human version of Trials, and that could be kind of cool.
Alternatively, the Mario Party 3 dual minigame Vine with Me. It's a lot like that.
Sure. I will say, when I started watching this, I was thinking about the name, and I was like, you know, Ninja versus Ninja, it's kind of on the nose, it's kind of silly, but probably a better name than Team Ninja Warrior at the end of the day, because Team Ninja Warrior didn't really say what the show was about. Team Ninja Warrior could mean anything. Ninja versus Ninja, you understand what's going on here. There's people competing against each other. So I kind of like the name better in that sense. But when you tag that onto American Ninja Warrior, Ninja versus Ninja, I feel like American Ninja Warrior is already an unwieldy title. You know, the original show is Sasuke, which the Americans turned into Ninja Warrior, which was already kind of weird. Then you do American Ninja Warrior. Now American Ninja Warrior, Ninja versus Ninja. Just a lot of ninjas and a lot of length.
I mean, there are a lot of ninjas. It explains what's going on if you are already basically familiar with the show. It doesn't explain what's going on if you are really into like those History Channel shows that are simulations of like, what if like the Greeks took on pirates or something? Then these people just think that it's what if ninjas fought ninjas? Who would win?
Yeah, I could definitely see the USA audience tuning in thinking, all right, ninja battles. Awesome.
Is that what the USA audience is known for? I literally don't know anything about any of their other programming.
Well, like all of their commercials were like movie previews. Mm-hmm. Like it feels very old school to me watching the USA Network.
Well, A Wrinkle in Time has done like the weirdest media push that I've ever seen. Did you see the commercial for Wrinkle in Time with all the ninjas on it?
Yeah, they had some very weird crossovers.
Yeah, so Wrinkle in Time is also like sponsoring RuPaul's Drag Race alums to like post on Instagram about it. They're doing like a big reality TV partnership or something.
Isn't it a children's movie? I guess American Ninja Warrior is a big children's show, but reality TV in general doesn't seem to be.
I mean, RuPaul's Drag Race isn't. I wouldn't say it's a children's movie. I mean, listen, it's really a story that
the main characters are children. It was based on a children's book.
It's not a children's book. It's a book that is appropriate for children, but is, you know, relatable to people of all ages.
Okay, that's what you call a children's book.
No, it's really good.
I read children's books. I recently read The Golden Compass, which was a children's fantasy novel, and I enjoyed it, even though the sequel was terrible.
It's like a YA book, I would say. Yeah, well, a children's book is like Hop on Pop. This is like we read it for school in sixth grade.
I feel like at that point, you're not even really like a boy jumped over the ball or whatever it is. Like that's
that's not a compelling story, but it is an obstacle on Ninja versus Ninja.
All right. Well, look, I have this written into my notes. We'll get to it when we get to
it. Oh, wow. I just Googled children's books, and the first thing that comes up is A Wrinkle in Time.
Boom.
But the next one that comes up is A Very Hungry Caterpillar and Goodnight Moon. They're so different.
Well, that's how it goes.
It's not the same reading level as Green Eggs and Ham. It's not.
I bet your phone listened to you saying A Wrinkle in Time and children's book a
the
lot.
The FBI agent looking at me through my laptop.
Put it on the results.
Yeah, planted that.
All right. So I also was realizing, you know, now that it's taking place at night instead of in the day, I was like, oh, well, that's annoying for the people that have to watch it like live, because being there all night sucks. But then I was thinking, like, you know what? This is probably way more fun to be at a Ninja versus Ninja taping than a regular American Ninja Warrior taping, because I feel like the stuff you're watching is more exciting being there. Like, you still have a bunch of ninjas. You don't have the potential disappointment of everyone failing. And it's just nonstop action the whole time.
Yeah, someone has to win.
Yes, and you can probably see the whole thing as well.
And also, like, we talked about this, but when we were in Vegas, like, it's kind of amazing how the ninjas are just, like, wandering around, and if you want to go up and talk to one, you can. The problem is that in Vegas, they're all either like getting ready for their runs, or they're like maybe disappointed about their last run or something. You don't want to go up to someone who's like either super focused or super bummed and be like, hey, can I have a picture? You know, someone who's like covered in water or whatever. But I feel like Team Ninja is so fun. Not that they're not focused, but like, I feel like it would be a much friendlier environment for like getting a pic or like having a talk with your favorite ninja.
Yeah, with Team Ninja or Ninja versus Ninja, you have the opportunity to talk to somebody after they've been injured, which is always fun. So they went over the obstacles here very briefly. I was very annoyed at this. They listed three obstacles: the crisscross ring toss, the floating tiles, and the warped wall. They failed to name or show any of the other obstacles.
We're gonna see them 900 times. Why do we need an explanation?
Because this is where I write them in my notes, so I know how to refer to them in the future.
Okay, there was like the rope swing thingy.
Oh, yeah, see, this is what title. Our podcast is going to degrade into.
And there was did you say the warped wall? There's that one.
I eventually got most of them down. I don't know what the initial one was called, but the crisscross ring toss, the floating tiles, the flying shelf grab, warped wall, and then the back half was the salmon ladder, rumbling dice, and zigzag climb.
Okay, so the only one you missed was the first obstacle.
Well, there were like two obstacles.
I think it's just called the rope swing.
There's the steps, and then the rope swing, and then the jump onto the net and climb under the net after jumping on the big thing.
You can call that the cargo net.
Yeah, but there's a big pole that they stand on as well. The pole into cargo net. Yeah. Very fun to say. Okay. Well, nobody fails at them, so it doesn't really matter. But still, annoying.
I'll let Alex Curry know to do a better job next time.
Thank you. So we have some new rules as well. There's a new rule set, and it comes up on this fancy screen, and it says the first team to win three matchups will win the round. So this is a different way of going about things. Previously on Team Ninja Warrior, it would be 1 point each for the first two rounds, and then 2 points for the final round. And then if there was a tie, then they would choose one member of their team to run again. This time, everyone has to run once, and if neither team has enough wins at the end of three races, then they go to a relay. So each member of the team faces off against somebody else, and then I'm assuming normally it'll be a 2-1 situation, and they'll go into a relay race where they'll either race the relay for the first half of the course or the whole course, depending on when they're doing it, either in the first round or the finals round of the episode. So then each relay is worth 1 point. So if you're down 2-1, you need to win two relays in order to take the win home. I prefer this format better. I feel like it is a lot more fair. You're not relying on one person to carry your team. And the only way to avoid the relay is to completely shut out the other team, which I feel like is relatively fair.
Yeah, no, this is way better. And I was nervous about... when I found out that they are sometimes going to have to do two relays in a row, like two identical relays in a row. I thought that that might get boring, but I actually thought we can get to it. But I thought it was interesting to see the exact same relay back to back to see how people correct their mistakes from the last
yes. time. Yeah. And I feel like the relay is one of the more compelling parts of the whole show. So, you know, seeing it twice in a row, isn't too bad for me. It may get to a point where it's such a blowout the first time, and then it will be a blowout the second time as well, that maybe that would be annoying.
But I feel like that won't happen that often, because if you're even enough that you have to go to a second relay, yeah, it's not going to be a blowout.
Yeah, so because you would need to have lost two of the first races in order to be so much, in order to even be in that position where you're going to need to win two relays in a row.
Yeah.
So it would need to be a situation like we saw in this episode where two people just kind of messed up and then were clearly the better team anyway, and they were able to show that through the relay.
Yeah, this is a lot better, because I think we were getting kind of annoyed with it being like a team like Think Tank, where it's like, as much as we love Noah Kaufman, it was like him and the girl on their team like never won, and that Matt Wilder would just go and run the 2-point race and win every single time, and they would go to the finals.
I'm still looking forward to Matt Wilder winning them some wins anyway.
Yeah, but your whole team has to be stacked now, because there's no 2-point race.
All right. Well, they also mentioned that the winner of the night's episode will return for the playoffs in a few weeks. So that's the format we're going to be going with. They didn't mention any kind of wild cards or anything like that. I know that I saw James tweet out, it was very fun competing. So he's done with the season at the very least. So I don't know if any losing teams will be coming back. I know there are a lot of teams, so there's probably not a lot of room for losing teams to come back. But
yeah, there's 32 teams, I think.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm assuming we're just going to be done with any team that loses, which is kind of unfortunate in the sense that, you know, we only got to see James run twice. And then the team is just done out of nowhere, which was something they avoided on Team Ninja. But you know, there are enough ninjas. I'm fine with this. I'm okay with knocking people out.
Yeah, it is sad, because at least on Team, like, I'm not saying that the wild card was like necessary. I don't need that. But at least on Team, the losing team got to run again for that third and fourth place.
Yes. All right. So we have the first matchup, which is the Beasts from the East versus the Hashtag Ninjas. And I really, really hate the name Hashtag Ninjas.
I knew you would. You're not a huge fan of who are these people? Nicholas Coolidge on social media?
I am a Nicholas Coolidge fan. I don't follow him, but I am a fan of Nicholas Coolidge's. I am not a fan of Hashtag Ninjas and then putting up the hashtag sign all the time. No.
Okay. Well, you're so good at naming things. What would your team name be?
Nicholas Coolidge's team would be the Coolridges, or the Cool Guys.
The Cool Guys.
Yeah.
No, I think we're over naming teams after one member of the team. I think it's become
more. Well, then what's Beasts from the East?
They're all from the East.
Yeah, but Beasts, that's okay. James the Beast McGrath.
Yeah, but they're all Beasts. It's like, I think they're past naming it like the JJ squad or whatever his team used to be called.
Like, well, we'll see maybe then. But yes, not a fan of the Hashtag Ninja name. But the first matchup was James versus Nicholas. And James McGrath mentions that he's undefeated in the head-to-heads, which I knew that was definitely going to come to an end the second he said it.
Yeah. Well, hey, Megan says it later, and she doesn't get screwed. But editing would never screw Megan Martin over.
Well, see, that's the thing. He says it. It's definitely going to get broken. Then when Megan says it later, it's definitely not going to get broken, because they wouldn't do that twice in a row.
Yeah, that's true. And they also just would never make Megan look stupid, I think.
He is, I believe, still recovering from his injuries during this filming. So not too surprising that ultimately he has some difficulty. He's against Nicholas Coolidge here, who says he's amassed a large social media following and now makes a living off of it. Very happy for you, Nicholas.
Yeah, you don't have to dumpster dive anymore. Is that him? Do I just say that every person is the guy who used to dumpster dive? I think I think it was him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, congrats, Nick. And then they have this new comparison page with stats, where they've got the two. It's like a football thing. I think they do this in football, uh-huh. where they've got like the two people in the faces, and then they've got like height, experience, and they've got their nickname. I feel like nickname is not necessary. Yeah. Height, you can kind of see. But I loved the experience tab. Mm-hmm. It like to compare James's 7 years versus Nick's 3 years. I thought that was really cool, and then I was disappointed to not see it in future stats.
Oh, did they not do that for the rest of it? I was focused on the fact that they list the men's weights and not the women's weights, which at that point, it's like, just don't list the men's. Like, no one is going to be like, how do these two stack up? Oh, JJ is 160 and Nicholas is 155. Oh, my God. Like, what a matchup.
Well, I feel like it was very contextual what information they were displaying. So like when it was Flip versus Allen, they really wanted to highlight the differences in weight. But for James versus Nick, they wanted to highlight the difference in experience. And I would prefer just same information every time kind of thing. But, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do.
If it was really like football, they would get to like, say their name and where they went to college and stuff.
Well, I do not care where they went to college.
Yeah, but it's like the experience, the intensity of like Meghan Martin, Vanderbilt University, you know, it's like hype.
No.
Okay, fine. No, that's fine. I care where they went to college.
But I don't care that you care where they went to college.
Okay, well, they don't have to say that. Maybe they can say how many years of experience they have.
I like seeing it up on the screen.
Okay. It's,
it reinforces a point.
Okay, you don't watch football. It's a thing.
Well, that's why I don't watch football, because it's a thing. And it's not a good thing. So James is he's up ahead in the race. He's beating Nicholas, but unfortunately slips into the water at the end of ring toss, and that slows him down enough that Coolridge ends up winning this heat.
Yeah, he manages to catch up pretty well, but I mean, he gets the warp ball second, and also his feet are wet and he can't get up on the first time.
Yeah, we see a couple people do this where they try to dismount from the ring toss early and then end up kind of either falling completely in the water or just dipping their feet in the water. And once you get wet, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, these from the East really are like team still injured.
Yeah, yeah. Which brings us to Erica Cook versus Larissa Cottle. And we get this package from Erica where she talks about how she injured herself in Team Ninja 2. She's had 12 months of rehab. And wow, this is brutal.
Yeah, she has a gigantic brace on her leg.
She looks like a robot.
Yeah. Is that exciting for you?
It's a robot leg.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I'm like, I understand that you want to participate in like this fun and fierce competition, but if I were her, I would just not take the risk.
Yeah, that's what I was. She was like, I haven't really had a chance to test it out yet. And I was like, so this is the time to test it. The same thing that broke it in the. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is the same obstacle there that broke it?
I don't think so. I think it was, one of those dangerous ones that I can't remember. But I do think it does feel like they've upped the safety standards a little bit here with the production value as well, because nobody seemed to be getting hurt. Nobody seemed to even come close to be getting hurt. So I do think that it's a little safer this time around.
Yeah. And no one is falling off the course. I feel like part of it was that like those mats were like way too thin and squishy that people would just like land and then fall off the course.
Yeah. And then we also have Larissa Cottle, who is another concrete something or other worker.
Yeah, what is the concrete industry feeding into American Ninja Warrior? I don't understand. It's like a pipeline.
There's some kind of conspiracy going on for sure. She also has a daughter.
Hooray. I don't remember
and
this woman.
Tattoos and dreads.
Ugh, okay. Yeah, they showed her on American Ninja Warrior, like they showed a clip of her in the regular season and she had these huge space buns and I still don't remember her. I was like, well, I feel like I would remember this hairstyle, but maybe she got montaged.
It happens. Erica was killing it on the course, going very fast, beating Larissa, but ultimately slips up on the floating tiles, probably due to A, her height, as they mentioned, but also B, or the fact that her leg is a robotic leg.
You would think that that would help her, though, if it was a real robotic leg.
Well, look, it's hard to control just one robotic leg when you've got a real leg on the other leg.
Yeah, I feel like in... I feel like in sci-fi movies and stuff, people always have like cool robotic arms. You don't often see one leg.
It happens.
Okay. I mean, I know it happens. But
people learn to control them way too quickly.
Okay. Well, I feel bad for her. I feel bad for this team. I was really, really pulling for them over the hashtag ninjas. No Tina shade at the cool guys.
Yeah.
But there's no one on this team that I really like need to see again.
Exactly. And I wasn't happy with them flashing the hashtag symbol.
You really hate this. Why do you hate this so much? You yourself just have a big social name. Media following. Shouldn't you identify with them?
But that's exactly it. Like, why would I identify with social media? Like, why would I want to be called? Why would I want to call myself the hashtag podcaster? And then would you listeners like that if I was like, all right, guys, I'm your host, hashtag Taryn, hashtag out, guys. See you later.
That's what every show does anyway. It's like you're watching Survivor and it's like at Jeff Probst, hashtag Ghost Island.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different. It's not naming yourself. It's, you know, giving a hashtag for people to talk about. It can be hashtag beasts from the east. It doesn't have to be hashtag ninjas. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's a good point. Well, I think the hashtag for this episode is hashtag Taryn. But like, okay. You have to spell out hashtag.
Sounds good. hashtag Taryn.
Yeah.
All right. So Larissa ends up making it all the way up the wall. She's very proud of herself. She's very happy that her daughter will get to watch her go up the warped wall. Always good to see, people, accomplishing things.
Yeah, that's why we're all here.
I really didn't care.
Get a haircut, Larissa.
That was totally fake.
You damn hippie.
Finally, we had Jesse LaFleur versus Dave Kavanaugh, and we see Jesse LaFleur, very influential parkour person. I feel like we've gotten the same package from Jesse LaFleur since he started American Ninja
Warrior. He's truly rocked the parkour world. I have no idea what being an influential parkour person could possibly mean, but
he has millions of views on YouTube.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, what exactly is his influence on the parkour movement besides being popular in it? Like, how do you change the sport?
I'm sure there are ways. Okay. I don't doubt the fact that he's influential in his field. I doubt the fact that he doesn't get any variety in his packages.
Okay, that's fair. Well, this is the only one where, like, I know who he is more than I know who the other guy is on Beast from the East.
Well, you should know who Dave Kavanaugh is. He made it to stage two in the finals last year, and he's a firefighter from Massachusetts.
Yeah, and they talk about him being in the walk-on line, but I feel like multiple people have had this package where it's like, I'm always in the walk-on line, to which I say, Ninja Warrior, just cast him. Like,
well, he did make it on Ninja versus Ninja, so.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like, well, hopefully that's his ticket to the regular season, but if someone's going to be invited on your spinoff, like, invite them on your regular show.
You should hope.
Yeah, no, I really don't remember this person, even though apparently I've seen him in real life.
Yes. Jesse ultimately goes down at the shelf grab, trying to catch up with Dave, and Dave takes it. It's not a clean sweep.
Yeah. And this is the part where I, like, stopped paying attention to what was actually happening, because I was like, wait, what are these rules? And then I had to go back and hear them explained again. Because it didn't make sense to me at first that if they sweep it, they automatically go to a relay. Because I thought then it was just like whoever wins the relay wins. And I was like, that's super not fair. But I ended up being on board with this.
Yeah, I was also a little at first I thought maybe they would each go at least once, and then they just keep racing until they got to three wins or something along those lines, with relays thrown in there or something. I wasn't sure, but it became very clear this was a good test case. And they go to the relay for the final point if the hashtags can win it. So Coolridge ends up giving LeFlair a good head start by hopping past Dave on the floating steps, which ultimately leads to the hashtags winning the round.
I'm the super bummed.
Yeah.
Not just because their name is terrible, but friend of the podcast, James McGrath, deserves better.
Well, you know, at least he's able to continue to rest and recover. He's not going to re-injure himself on Ninja versus Ninja. I'm very happy about
that. Yeah, that's true. And poor Erica Cook gets some time off too.
Yes, they got to stretch out a little bit, and now they can go back to recovering for American Ninja Warrior proper. Mm-hmm. All right, so Beasts from the East are no more. And now we have the next matchup of the night, Team Ronin versus the West Coast Warriors. And I feel like a little bit weird to not have the Beasts from the East face off against the West Coast Warriors.
That's what I was going to say as well. Real missed opportunity here. Like, how did they make these matchups? Because, like, I assume they made them to be fair or whatever, but it's not like anybody watching would be like, oh man, the Beasts from the East and the West Coast Warriors are so mismatched. Like, people would just be like, oh, that makes sense because of their names.
Yeah. You know, I'm not in charge of the show, but maybe I should be.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But who would be the rivals of the hashtag ninjas, like the Amish ninjas? The Luddite ninjas?
No, the sensible ninjas. The sensibly named ninjas.
The pragmatic squad.
Yeah.
That would be your name.
So first off, we have JJ Woods versus JB Douglas, aka the battle of the two-lettered first names.
Yeah, and JB looks like, I have no idea who this person is, but he looks like Jake Murray. And I was like, oh, Jake Murray put on a lot of muscle, but not him.
Not the case. This is when I noticed that they were not going to have the experience on all of the stat pages. And I was like, that's lame. It's just their background, which I don't even remember. I know JJ Woods is a boxer because they mention it all the time, but I don't remember what JB Douglas was.
I didn't know what you meant by background. I was like their ethnicity? Because that would be really weird.
That would be really weird.
Like their religion.
Akbar says he's putting his money on JJ.
That's smart, Akbar.
We know Akbar is a big JJ fan.
Yeah, Akbar and I have that in common.
Yes. JJ makes a huge leap on the ring toss and takes a big lead. He starts to look tired at the end, or something happens. He's looking back, he's smiling, he's laughing, like he's either tired or just messing with JB. I don't know what's happening there.
He's trying to make good TV.
Well, JJ wins the round.
Yeah. I have to say, there were when they announced the 32 teams that were going to be participating, I looked at them and there were like six teams that I wrote down that I thought were going to do really well. And I felt like Team Ronin was like unfairly stacked compared to everyone else. Like, this is a ridiculously strong team. Like, no other team has three people that are all superstars.
Yeah, they're all top tier competitors. They've definitely all been to the finals, which is more than a lot of teams can say. Both Flip and JJ have made it to stage two. Megan is certainly capable of making it to stage two. So it's a very, very stacked team.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm also not complaining because they're three super likable people who I love very much. So, like, if you're going to stack a team, this is totally fine with me.
Yeah, there need to be some teams. I don't want it to be so spread out that it's just like there's one good person on each team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the teams with the all-star women are going to be the big difference makers.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. That generally tends to be how it works out. And we'll see later that, you know, Megan was really a big part of the relay wins that Team Ronin took a part in. But next up was Meghan Martin versus Lindsay Eskildsen. And Meghan gets the package about how she travels a lot and is super busy, which is kind of another rehash of her package from last season of American Ninja Warrior.
And they were like, she's in San Francisco now. But I was like, why? Like, you didn't explain anything about like what she's up to. But still, I love her. I literally feel it's like so sad when I watch her on TV. I'm like, feel like I'm looking at my friend. I'm just like, yeah, we're like friends. Like, I'm so happy for her and all her successes.
Yes. She also mentions that she's undefeated in Team Ninja and she plans to keep it that way.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lindsay Eskildsen is a person who I think I'm supposed to remember.
A gymnast who made it to the finals in Vegas.
She's a cheerleader. I love a cheerleader. I just can't root against Meghan Martin ever.
Meghan takes off at a breakneck pace. She loses a bit of momentum on the ring toss, but Lindsay struggles even more. And then Meghan slams her head into the flying shelf grab, which they, man, that sound effect they put in for that was just brutal. manages to hold on anyway and finishes the course, gets up the warped wall, wins the round. But that must have been really annoying.
Yeah, this round was a little messy overall. And I was just thinking about how Meghan was talking about how like things always happen to her on these days, like weird accidents, like she gets something in her eye or she hits her head or whatever. I was just thinking about like if I were Lindsay Eskildsen and it's like, OK, you're going to make your big debut on Ninja versus Ninja. By the way, you're going against Meghan. I'd just be like, come on. Like, there's so many other rookies. Like, I have to go against Meghan.
Yeah, for as much as this is a better format for TV, for the poor athletes who get one opportunity and have to race against one particular person, it's just it can be a bit brutal if you're up, you know, like if whoever's up against Drew Dreschel is just I'm so sorry because you're never going to get any other opportunity, I think. So, yes, Lindsay ends up losing this round. Meghan wins. And then we get the weird Wrinkle in Time ninja crossover commercial, which is basically just a bunch of female ninja warriors talking about being ninja warriors with footage from a Wrinkle in Time just laid over it. And there's nothing to do. One has nothing to do with the other, as far as I'm aware, until the very end when they're like, it's great that there's a good female character.
Yeah, it's a female led story. There's a lot of women in it, but it also has nothing to do with being a warrior. Like, there's absolutely no, I guess they're trying to think of warrior as like, just like a strong woman or whatever. But like, there's absolutely no like fighting or violence of any kind in A Wrinkle in Time, as far as I remember. So I don't really think of her as a warrior.
I mean, I'm glad that, you know, these women are getting paid.
It's
commercial
weird.
Money.
It's weird to see everybody with makeup on.
Like, yeah, I noticed that.
I was just like, oh my God, Jesse looks so
you're
different.
You're too pretty. What's going on?
Yeah, Jesse LeBrec just like looks so different. Because even like I follow them on Instagram, but even then, like it's just mostly them training. So I don't see them like in dresses and stuff.
So we come back and we've got Flip Rodriguez versus Alan Keneally. And, this was a good package for Flip. This was a good continuation on previous packages. He's been raising awareness for sexual assault. He has got this organization called PAVE, that he's been working with and, very, very proud of Flip. This is amazing work he's doing.
Yeah, I sobbed during this, because like I think that like if I have permission to be sincere for a minute, this is like a very of the time thing now, right? Like in 2018, like this is a very like of the moment thing, but Flip was obviously doing this before like it was more common for people to be like coming out publicly about their sexual assaults. And I think like currently with the Me Too movement, like a lot of what the conversation has been about has been like the men who have been named, like, oh, this person is being taken down. And it's been so much less about the victim's experience. So to just have someone like emotionally speak about like, I don't feel bad for myself, like this is not my fault, and it not being about the abuser, because we don't know who this guy is. He's not interested in like, or person, we don't know who the abuser is. Like, Flip is not interested in naming them or talking about who they are. So to just like have a victim-centered experience on a show like Ninja Warrior that so many young people are watching was like very emotional and very awesome for me, and sort of helped me like catch my breath and like recenter like victim stories and all of this. So love Flip.
Yeah. And you're showing the like the tweets, you know, from kids, or like you gave me the courage to break my silence. Like, very, very great stuff from Flip. And also like knowing, having seen him in person, being so good with kids that love him. It's just, very, very heartwarming. Flip, I love Flip.
Yeah. Here's what the show should have done. They should have put this package second.
Yes. Right after
ridiculous.
This package, we get this would otherwise have been a really great package for Al. This is like the package equivalent of being put up against Drew Dreschel, because I think in any other circumstance this would have been like, oh, what a great package for Alan Keneally, so cute, him and his dog Kenobi, they train together, so adorable, but really stands no chance versus Flips.
My notes are like, Flip Rodriguez, what an inspiration, like blah blah blah, and then it's like Alan Keneally has a dog. Okay. Also, the dog is a Bernedoodle, which is a cross between a Bernese Mountain Dog and a poodle, which I believe is generally one of those sort of like designer mixes, and makes me think that he did not adopt that dog. I think he got it from a breeder. So bad on you, Alan Keneally.
Did he say he adopted it?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Like, I would gather that he got this dog from a breeder, and adopt, don't shop, Alan. I mean, it's possible he did. I just feel like who would abandon that kind of dog, which is like a popular boutique mix.
I don't know how dogs work.
Okay. Well, just giving a PSA to all our listeners.
Well, Akbar really loves saying this, so I knew he would not fail to say it. Alan's a big boy for a ninja.
I thought you were going to say that Akbar loves talking about big dogs.
A big boy with a big dog.
Yeah. He's like, Alan is running like his dog is chasing him. And I'm like, okay, yeah, Alan is going to need to get another thing very soon. Because there's already a big dog ninja. And he has a whole team. There's a big dog ninja's team now this season.
Is it called the Big Dog Ninja
yes,
Team?
Yes, it's Jody Avila's team.
Oh, so what happened to we don't name teams
I'm
after
saying,
people's names?
No, they don't use the actual name anymore. They don't use people's actual names.
Oh, it's that now you're being specific and
no, nitpicky. That was my original point.
All right. Well, Alan gets caught up on the ring toss and ultimately goes down. So Team Ronan has swept this, and man, poor West Coast Warriors, they get one shot and they're done. Not even a relay can help them, and Team Ronan will be moving on.
Yeah, Team Ronan versus hashtag ninjas. Who are you rooting for?
Look, I love Nicholas Coolidge, but
it is kind of sad. Like, Ninja Warrior is like the one thing, and normally this doesn't come up in the regular season because they're not really competing against each other, but Ninja vs. Ninja is the one thing where you like don't root for the underdogs. It's like, we want to see our favorites.
Yeah. Then they have this another very weird commercial setup here. They talk, okay, time for the super slow-mo cam.
Oh, I skipped this.
I was like, what is going on here? And so what they do is they put up just slow motion footage of what we just saw side by side, picture in picture with the commercials, all of the commercials for this commercial break. And at first I was like, this is really strange. And then I was like, actually, it's kind of brilliant because it gives you incentive to actually stay for the commercials if you want to see some of this footage.
Why would you want to see the footage though?
I don't know. It turned out the footage was not interesting at all, but it could have been interesting. If they had Gavin Free from the Slow Mo Guys filming this, this could have been interesting footage. Ultimately, it was just what we saw, but slower.
Yeah. As soon as they said like slow mo cam, I was like, I feel like I know where this is going. So I skipped it.
I'm sure we're going to be seeing more attempted crossover commercial stuff, but whatever it takes to get the money in, you know, it's fine. as long as they don't cancel the show.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to go see Wrinkle in Time, but this did not affect my excitement level in any way.
All right. Well, we finally have Team Ronin versus the hashtag ninjas. And first up was Nicholas Coolidge versus JJ Woods. And what a matchup this was. Out of nowhere on the ring toss, JJ just grabs Coolidge. They both lose one of their rings and they're just like fighting in midair over the rings. JJ eventually goes back to his own, and Coolidge's was closer, so he manages to get off first. But this was just a crazy battle of the rings.
Well, I don't think it was out of nowhere. I think he grabbed Coolidge because he lost his ring and needed to like get his balance. And so he just like reached out for the nearest thing and grabbed his shirt.
I wanted to see more of this. I wanted to see them try to push each other off of the rings.
I know. You've always been wanting this on Team. Why do you want them to fight each other?
Because my favorite opening challenge from Survivor is the Heroes versus Villains one, where they just beat the crap out of each other trying to get the things. And I really enjoy watching that kind of stuff.
Ninja is so not about hand-to-hand contact. Like, how do they train for that? Also, I would not want to go up against JJ if, like, punching is an option. I like how you're like, oh my god, everybody gets injured on this show, it's so dangerous. Hit each other.
Well, you don't need to hit each other, but like I feel like pushing is fair game, just kind of like knocking them off their balance. It was encouraged in the relay.
Yeah, I mean, this ring toss is going to lead to some contact, to some drama.
So JJ ends up catching up to Coolidge, but slips in the water at the shelf grab. He's just trying to go too fast, trying to catch up, and goes down. So next up was Megan Martin versus Larissa Cottle. And this is the first time we get to see Akbar disappointed in Larissa, because Akbar is like me. He wants to see contact happen. He wants to see the fighting. They're both the ring toss, and Larissa she moves out of the way for Megan, and Akbar's like, oh, she moved out of the way. Don't move out of the way.
I mean, listen, make way for Megan Martin. I imagine that I also would be a little bit intimidated and not want to get in Megan's way. Also, Megan looks super cold. Her teeth are chattering at the start line. When was this filmed?
I don't know.
October or something?
I mean, it is the middle of the night, so unless it's a very warm place, it's probably going to be
Los Angeles.
It can be chilly in LA.
I guess. They should just film it in Vegas. Then they wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah, I guess so. So Larissa ends up going down at the shelf grab. Megan Martin wins this heat. Very important that she does, because she was the sole winner of the head-to-head matchups, as we'll see with Flip versus Jesse. Flip is wearing some AirPods or whatever they're called, the wireless iPhone headphones. And oh, man, he doesn't want to get those wet.
Are they called AirPods?
I think so. I don't know.
I guess in my mind there were AirBuds, but obviously that is not it, because that's a movie franchise.
Yeah, they are called AirPods.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But because I think earbuds, so I thought it was AirBuds.
They're still very weird. I mean, I'm all for, I've been all in on wireless headphones, and true wireless headphones I think are great if they work properly, but they just look strange.
Yeah, also when they're covered by people's hair in the gym, I think that people are insane. Because they're like talking into them.
It happens.
Yeah. Well, this is like Drew's signature that Flip is taking.
It's true. Only I'm sure the AirPods are more expensive than the, MP3 player that Drew takes with him.
Yeah, probably less waterproof.
Unfortunately for Flip, he gets a bad dismount on the ring toss. He tries to make that early dismount and gets very wet and ends up slipping at the shelf grab. And I don't know what happened to those AirPods.
They're still down there at the bottom of that pool.
Oh man.
There was a very unfavorable comparison I felt for Flip, where it was like, Jesse and Flip are both stuntmen. Jesse was in the X-Men franchise and Flip was in the Transformers movies. I feel like that's like not a flattering comparison for Flip.
Well, artistically, no, but they've done well at the box office.
Yeah. And I mean, I really am a big fan of Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, more so than I think anyone in the X-Men movies. I haven't seen any X-Men movies. You can't tell.
Flip ends up losing that round matchup to Jesse, and they go to the relay. It's all coming down to this. The Team Ronan needs to win two relays in a row in order to stay alive. And Megan Martin starts off against Larissa. Akbar says, "Don't talk about it, be about it." And right now, Megan Martin is all about it, because she's really beating Larissa pretty bad.
Yeah, and you know what? Larissa is very much enabling that.
Yes, because again, on the ring toss, Megan even gets stuck here and ends up waiting for Megan to get out of her way, essentially. Akbar, still very frustrated with Larissa, she's being too dang nice!
Yeah, this is why I discourage any sort of physical contact between people, because I feel like women are not going to want to do that with each other.
Larissa ends up waiting a long time for Megan to dismount from the ring toss, giving the rest of the team a substantial lead. But Coolidge quickly starts closing the gap on JJ. Akbar says Coolidge looks like a monkey on there because he just flies up the salmon ladder. But ultimately, it is not enough. He cannot catch up to JJ, and Team Ronan takes the first relay.
Yeah. I wonder, do you think there's any rule that says that the women have to do the same leg as each other? Probably not,
so.
Right?
I did have the thought that that it might be worth it for, especially for the hashtag ninjas, to put Larissa in for the shelf grab warped wall section, because mm-hmm. I feel like that I don't think she had any problem with the shelf grab or the warped wall. So to get Coolidge versus Megan on the first part, I feel like Coolidge would have stood a much better shot at not losing ground to Megan. And then, maybe you slow down for the second part, but at that point, there's no choke point. So mm-hmm. I feel like that would have been a better strategy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, but I didn't know if it was like, maybe if not a rule, like I wonder if it's like a sportsmanship thing that like, they're just like, our women are going to go against each other.
Possibly. Especially if contact is encouraged on the, the ring toss. Can you imagine JJ versus
poor Larissa.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she was in his way on the backswing, she would just like get kicked off of the obstacle.
Well, they go into the final relay and same lineup, same positions. Larissa tries to get in the way a little bit more of Megan, but she still just seemed really rattled. She's trying to not let Megan get any momentum, but she just keeps getting hit. She can't get anywhere herself, so she ends up just making way for Megan. And again, it provided enough of a lead that Coolidge was not able to catch up. This time, he lagged behind even more, and Team Ronan wins the night.
Yeah. So the thing about Larissa blocking Megan is that the best case scenario is that Megan can't get enough of a swing, but goes for it anyway and just falls there. And then she can just complete the obstacle. Or Megan, like, I don't know, slips while she's trying to do this or whatever. The problem is that you're trying basically to out dead hang Megan Martin at a certain point. Right. Like she, as long as she's blocking her, she has to hang on too. And like eventually she's going to fall and then Megan can just swing off. So like, while it's good that she made an improvement and like didn't just let Megan go and like maybe tired her out a little bit more, like there was really no great scenario. All that happened was that she ended up getting hit by Megan's body a lot and had to hold on a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what's possible in that situation, but ultimately, I think the thing that you should try to do is try to get around Megan Martin mm-hmm. Instead of like sitting there and waiting and getting out of the way. But again, I don't know how possible it is. I don't know how in the way she was. So I feel for Larissa. This is probably a tough spot to be in with Megan Martin as your competition.
Yeah, at least she got Akbar's approval when she tried to get in the way more.
And this battle on the ring toss becomes the Mitsubishi's drive of the night. I believe
it's the Mitsubishi Motors drive of the night.
Oh, Motors. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I'm
very important.
Just trying to get it right. I miss Palm. I miss
yeah,
the wonderful.
Yeah, this was very... I don't understand... drive doesn't really fit in the context of this competition, I think.
I feel like they're really trying to be football, maybe, with the 32 teams and the stats and the stuff. Stuff like that. Like a drive, I think, of football. Like a drive of the night. What?
It's true. No, it's true. Yeah. It's a football thing. It's not a Ninja Warrior thing.
Yeah, so I wonder... I mean, it's a car company, so drive, but... I don't know. Maybe it's sponsored by the movie Drive. They're just doing some retroactive sponsoring. Here's a question. What does Team Ronin mean? This just occurred to me.
Well, I think it's like a samurai thing. So it may be just a connection to the Japanese roots of the show. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess so. What team was Megan on?
I don't know.
I don't remember who she was with. I feel like whoever she was with... I kept getting frustrated because Megan would always win, but her team didn't win ever, which was annoying.
Didn't she have a team that was like based on her name?
I really have no idea. What would be based on her name?
I don't know, like the Meganators or something.
Oh, she was on a team with Ian Dory and Dan Yeager. Damn.
There you go.
That's a stacked team, but I feel like they didn't do that well. I don't remember. See, Team Ninja Warrior is all a blur. I feel like we recorded like 2 episodes of that last year.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it. Anyway, I'm happy with this format update. I'm also happy with the 1-hour episodes. I think Team was always 1 hour, but I'm just used to regular season, which is 2 hours long.
It's very rare that American Ninja Warrior leaves me wanting more, but that's what happens with 1-hour episodes. I'm very happy about that. I'm not a fan of 2 hours.
By more, you mean more explanation of obstacles?
Yes. More explanation of obstacles. So we should talk about the zigzag climb. They didn't explain it, so I don't know how we're going to explain it.
It's the same thing as the elevator climb, but you go forward a little bit before you go
up. Yeah, it's like the spider climb or walk or whatever it is.
Oh, that's what I meant, not the elevator climb.
Zigzaggy, like, I don't know. It just seems a lot easier than any other final obstacle.
I guess, but I mean, you don't want to see people fall on Ninja vs. Ninja. Like you want to,
I mean, that's true.
It's about who can do it faster. So the obstacles shouldn't be that hard, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I just, you know, I would have liked a little more explanation about it.
It would be so. Can you imagine if it's like, okay, the last one is the body prop and you're just like watching people like very slowly try to get through this impossible obstacle. Like, here's rolling thunder.
It also just like, I feel like I never got a good view of it. Like I never, like when both JJ and Nicholas, or not Nicholas, Jesse were, or wait, was it Nicholas or Coolidge? I don't remember.
I think it was Jesse.
No, I think it was Coolidge who was on it.
All right, well, they look similar.
when both JJ and Coolidge were on the zigzag climb, there was no depth perception. Like, they showed it from behind, so they both looked like they were in the same spot. They never really showed it from the side, I don't think. It was hard to see what was going on.
What did the last obstacle used to be? I guess always. No, what was the back half of the previous?
It used to be either like a rope climb or the spider climb kind of thing, into a rope climb, but some kind of tower thing.
Yeah, well, this is like a tower, but sort of on its side for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably a better obstacle as on the whole, because watching people slowly climb up, there's barely ever any change, and it's very slow, but I just would like to see a better angle of what's happening.
Yeah, get on it, cinematographers.
Yeah,
a lot of production notes for this new format.
All right, well, this was a fun episode. I'm happy that we've got some Ninja versus Ninja to talk about.
Yeah, how long does this go on? There's so many teams. I guess we would have to do math to figure that out, and I'm not here for that.
4 teams per episode, 32 episodes, and then the playoffs, and we're gonna get 8 teams total with playoffs, 4 teams too, so probably like 11 episodes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This will be on for a while.
Unless there are wild card ones.
And then it'll be 12 weeks.
But I don't think it will be, because it will get 8 teams total. Then we'll probably have 2 playoff episodes with 4 teams each, which will get us down to 2 final teams for. But we're not going to have a whole episode for two teams. So I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe there'll be all kinds of twists that will mess with the structural integrity of Ninja versus Ninja.
Oh, no.
Maybe we'll enter the Grodner era of Ninja versus Ninja.
Maybe we will. All right. Well, thanks for everyone that checked this out. I know this is a niche show, the Ninja versus Ninja. It's on USA. It's not even on a major network. So, if you're listening, you're great.
What's the USA tagline? It's like, we know drama or something.
No, that's like TNT.
Oh, it's We the Bold.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I knew it was terrible. Something
stupid. I know. Listen, it's no TBS. Characters Welcome is obviously the best one.
Why do channels need taglines anyway?
To make fun of on podcasts.
I guess so. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong. Taryn Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can follow her on Instagram as well, at Lita Grammed. You can find this podcast, the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up podcast, on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. You can leave a review there. That's a lot of fun if you do. You can also find it on the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed, or on robhasawebsite.com, where you can leave a comment. Lots of fun stuff there. We've also got Big Brother Canada 6 starting up soon. Lita will be joining me for some live feed updates in the morning, so make sure you check those out. Big Brother Canada, very fun. We have a friend who's going to be on the show.
Knock wood.
In all likelihood.
Yeah. Hey, vote Kirsten.
Yes. So that'll be fun. That'll be interesting. And of course, you can check out the Taryn Show and all of the other fun stuff that we're doing.
Yes. You can also check out my RuPaul's Drag Race and Survivor recaps on myentertainmentworld.ca.
All right. So the hashtag for this episode is hashtag Taryn. That's the actual hashtag followed by spelled out hashtag and then Taryn. And then tweet that at us, and I'll be sad about life.
the main goal of these podcasts is to bum Taryn out. So
yes,
please do that.
It's true. Thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.